Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming up, getting put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Windows.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows, plenty of content to view that gives you everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We got
trouble
with these, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, still me, sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder, master music show. Free the homie gangs, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. This is the Murder Master Music Show, episode 658. We got a special show for you tonight. We got a West Coast OG right here. You know what I'm saying? Goes back to the 80s with this hip hop shit, this G funk, you know what I'm saying? One and only Dazzy D. I'm going to bring him on right now, man. Just chop it up with him. Dazzy, how you doing, brother?
Oh, man, what it do, brother? How you doing out there, man?
Man, I'm real excited about tonight's show, man. It's a huge honor to have you on. You know, at first and foremost, you know, I definitely want to say rest in peace to Shorty. We had him on a couple years ago. Very humble individual. I'm very sorry for your loss, man.
Oh, yeah, man, that was a good brother, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man, no doubt. But, no, I was just telling the people, you know, you're one of the West Coast OGs, man. You go back quite a ways, man, you know, Days of Compton's Most Wanted and NWA and stuff. When exactly did you get your start in the game?
Oh, shoot, man. Like you said, man, like mid-'80s. You know what I'm saying? I started working with music. Me and Sir Jinx, we was doing music together. And I started off, I was rapping, but I got my feet wet in the game. I was DJing for CIA, for Jinx, Ice Cube, and KD. I was their DJ for a minute. And then the whole NWA thing came together. And then I started doing my own thing. Dr. Dre produced my very first single, him and Jinx. And I just started doing my own thing from there, man.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we had KD on this show. He was saying back then Ice Cube was calling himself Purple Ice because he liked Prince and Ice-T. You go back way back then.
Yeah, Purple Ice, man.
Wow. Ice. That's those listening, CIA was Cube, KD, and Sir Jinx, and you were the DJ, huh?
Yeah, that part right there, man. That's how I actually got my feet wet.
So basically, I mean, you were in CIA, which is, you know what I'm saying, one of the pioneering groups of the West Coast, you know what I'm saying, with the street stuff. Did you guys at the time, you know what I'm saying, this was pre-NWA, did you guys think that, you know, CIA might, you know what I'm saying, get a deal or you know what I'm saying, blow up at that time?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, they got a deal right around the time Wrecking Crew had a deal. So they both had deals on Epic. They were both on Epic for a minute. So, yeah, we knew it was going down. We just, you know, we just didn't know how. But, yeah, that was the very first, well, actually the single, the official single was on Epic.
Yeah. Man, and there's so many legendary artists around that time, you know what I'm saying? You know, people think of NWA, they tend to just think of the core members, but there were so many, like you were saying, groups and different other people around. It was like a sea of talent, man. What was it like in the 80s in Compton and South Central?
Oh, man, yeah, you had cats like Toddy T, Bataram, Mixmaster Spade, original Jazzy D, you had Dezzo Dazz. Oh man, you had a whole bunch of cats, man, from the West that was really putting it down. It was dope, man, because it was all new. It was all new to us. You know what I'm saying? Like we had got, you know, I've told this story before. It's funny, man, because you know we was the youngsters, like me and Jinx and Cube and all them. We was kind of the young, like the youngsters. You know what I'm saying? Like Dre and all them was doing their thing, but they was doing their thing with the techno hop. You know what I'm saying, with that kind of electro type stuff. So, as kids, man, we was looking at them laughing because you know we had kind of already got a glimpse and a whiff of what the East was doing with the real hip hop. So we was like, man, this is where it's at. This is what you know. This is how it's going down. And then watching them cats perform that techno, man, we was laughing, having a ball with it, man. But it all came together, man. It came with King T. I can't forget Tila. Tila was in the mix back then, man. Yeah, it was going down, man.
Yeah, so much talent. So much talent, man. You know, you've done stuff, obviously, with The Chill. You know what I'm saying? Compton's Most Wanted. You know, all these guys, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the dope part is you guys are still making music today. That's what I love, man. We're going to play a new song here after a little while, man. What gives you that longevity, man, to keep doing what you're doing?
What'd you say, brother?
I would say, what gives you the drive to keep doing what you're doing, man? You got that longevity in the game.
I love it, man. I love music. You know what I'm saying? I love hip-hop, man. I love music. It's always been in me, man. I started playing drums. Seventh grade, man, I was playing drums, and it's funny because Johnny J., rest in peace, Tupac producer, he taught me how to play drums when I was in the seventh grade. So, you know, because he's a year older than me. So, man, ever since I learned how to play the drums, I just fell in love with music, man.
Yeah. You know, it transcended in the production yourself. But before we get into that, you talked about, you know what I'm saying, a few minutes ago, how Dr. Dre produced your first single. Was that the Turn It Loose one?
Yeah.
Turn It Loose. Okay, now Dre, now this is what year was this? Was this before NWA or was this right around the same time?
Yeah, maybe around the same time, but when you say same time, like, it wasn't official yet. Because, see, a lot of cats don't know, too, that, you know, NWA, man, wasn't really supposed to be a group. NWA wasn't an actual group. And that, if you look at the very, very first project, it was NWA and the Posse. I mean, it was just a gang of the homies. It was not supposed to be a group, but you know, they took the so-called leader from each group. So you had Dre from Wrecking Crew, you had Easy, then you had Q, the head of CIA. You see what I'm saying? They just got all the heads together and actually formed the group. So around that time, we was all doing our thing, man. Me, Candyman, Jinx, CIA. You know, we was all doing our thing. And that's why it was easy for Dre to produce my record, because actually it was a trade-off. They didn't pay me, but he produced it because I ended up writing the disc record. Was not all of it, but some of the disc record for J.J. Fad, for the Roxanne Shanté disc. I wrote that. So in return, Dre produced, helped Jinx produce my single.
Oh, okay. So you got, you know, Dre on the first single, you know what I'm saying, and here you are, you're coming out, you was DJ for CIA, you know, what made you want to, you know, go the solo route and come from behind the turntable, so to speak, and be an MC yourself?
Well, I just loved hip-hop, man, so, I mean, I was yeah. always a rapper, you know what I'm saying, like, I was a rapper, I just knew how to DJ. So instead of them going out and trying to find a DJ, you know, really Jinx was the DJ. Jinx was the DJ of the group, but Jinx, you know, started saying little lines and stuff in the rap, so he couldn't be the DJ and on stage rapping. So I kind of took over the show duties. You know what I'm saying? But Sir Jinx was official DJ. So, you know, I always rap, man. So when that's what I'm saying. So when it got time for everybody to kind of showcase their skills, I put the turntables to the side and picked up the mic, and that's because that's what I did best.
Yeah, man, and it's evident. It still shows today. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to this song right here. This one's called Rep the West featuring Chocolate, man. Can you tell us about this one before we play it?
Yeah, man. It was my it was one of my last records I was doing, man. I was my boy MoFat produced the beat, and he shot it to me, and I was writing a rap, man, to my daughter. She was 7 years old at the time, homie. She was 7, and she came in, and she was bobbing her head to the beat. So I gave her a little line to say, just playing around, man, and she was on beat. Like, she was riding the beat. I was like, God, get on the mic. So she ended up doing the chorus, the hook for the song. But, yeah, that's me and my 8-year-old daughter, man, putting it down.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. It's always dope when you can have, you know what I'm saying, your children, you know what I'm saying, be on the music with you. That's what I'm talking about. This right here is Rep the West, Dazzy D, featuring Chocolate. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Hello, everybody, if you know me, West Coast Lynch Mob OG. For sure, we got it good. From state to state, from hood to hood, from block to block. Your foot block is hot, but we don't trip. Neighborhood watch, keep the West on lock, and it don't stop. Word to Tupac and these two blocks. Ain't now another this gutter. Lay back while the little homies nut up. We so blessed, and it's just
we
yes, you know what they say, welcome to L.A. From 94-7 wave to K-Day. So we about to keep the wheels rolling, get it? It ain't no other way than with chocolate spinning. And we got it good. Bloodline, so far, west side. How can I say this, play this? I know you love it when I'm banging my LA-ness. One of the greatest to make this. It makes sense to break down some chocolate. And we're tougher than NSG funk. Can they get with us? Huh. So we give our all when we give it up. See, life is too short not to live it up. We so blessed, and it's just
me.
I know you're fascinated cause it's G-rated. Can't rest till I know all my people's made it. We so west and so blessed.
We are the best.
type of music you don't want to end, man. That beat's so funky, man. That's that G-Funk. You know what I'm saying? We're back here with Dazzy D.
Yeah,
man, that's dope. How was it to have your daughter on the track with you? I mean, you had to be real proud of that.
Yeah, man. It was a beautiful thing, man. It really kicked in, though, man, when we shot the video. Because, like, you know, I didn't know how she was going to react visually. Man, it was time for her part to kick in. She just kicked in the gear, man. That's when that proud daddy kicked in me, homie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely, man. And it's always good too to see how talented your children are. You know, it gives you a good feeling to know that, you know, you instilled something in them. It's passed down the DNA, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Going back, you know what I'm saying, all those years ago when you were DJing for CIA and whatnot, were you, at any point in time, were you ever thought of maybe becoming part of NWA or being part of Ruthless Records?
Nah, you know what? Nah, not really, because, you know, that's what I'm saying, but like the age gap, even though I'm older now, but the age gap back then, man, I was young, man. I was like a young buck. I was like you say, man, like when NWA just like started, man, we was like, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, man. So I was kind of young, you know what I'm saying? Like I was doing my own thing, basically. You know what I'm saying? Always have, even with the Lynch Mob stuff. You know, that's why I wasn't featured on the albums. Because I always did my thing. Like when they started on that Lynch Mob album, I was already signed to Capitol, working, me and Battle Cat working on my album.
Yeah. So you already had something going on, you know what I'm saying? What about were you ever affiliated or talked to Eazy-E at all at that time? He seemed like he was a genius, you know what I'm saying, like a visionary. Did you see that in him, if so?
Yeah, all day. I mean, that's one thing we did. You know, because we were still a crew, so, you know, we would still get together and work on music and share music and stuff like that. So, you know, I was there the whole ride, you know what I'm saying? I was there. So I understood, yeah, what the dude was doing, man, but I knew it. I knew that. I knew what he was going to do, you know, because the movie didn't really portray how he left NWA and how he pursued his solo career. You know, they touched on it, man, but it's a movie. You know what I'm saying? But to really see how it happened and how he elevated, oh, it was bananas, man.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it had to have been. When we had Three and Chilly Chill on the show, and Shorty, you know, rest in peace, they was talking about when Cube left at that time, it was like trying to protect the president. You know what I'm saying? Was it crazy? I mean, y'all had to protect Cube like pretty much everywhere he went on tour and stuff?
Yeah, but that happened a little bit later, like maybe like after America's Most came out. Then, you know, it was all eyes on him. You know, he was a sleeping giant until then, man. Cats didn't really care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, not like that, but, you know, they didn't care about his movements. They were just like, oh, Ice Cube left the group. Damn, that's messed up. But, you know, when they found out the effect it had of him going solo, then all eyes was on him, man. And then, yeah, that's when we had to kind of step up and, yeah, kind of play the dude back up. You know what I'm saying? His crew, his muscle.
Yeah. And, you know what I'm saying? I mean, at this time, you know, you got Jinx, Dub C, Chilly Chill. I mean, all these legendary cats yourself. You know, what was the atmosphere like, man? You guys are all kids still, pretty much.
Oh, man, it was dope, man. And, I mean, and that's another thing, too. A lot of cats don't know, too, man. Lynch Mob wasn't supposed to be a group. Lynch Mob was just a crew of homies. You know what I'm saying? It was all homies, man, and we was all doing our own thing. Cam, me, JD, you know what I'm saying? We was a threat, Deadly Threat, Yo-Yo, you know what I'm saying? Chilly Chill, me and Jinx was doing our thing at the time. We had a group called Three's a Crowd, me, him, and my brother Taz, you know, we was all, it was just, Lynchmob was just supposed to be just a movement. You know what I'm saying? And even before that, you know what I'm saying? I could take you back before then, man. I could take you back to the mid-80s, man. Like, a lot of cats don't know, man, especially not being from the West, but you know, man, we actually had a hip-hop, like, we was a hip, my high school, man, was a hip-hop fang, man. Like, we had everybody, man, when I say everybody went to the school, bro, everybody went to, and I'm talking about the same years. You had me, Jinx, Threat, Johnny J, that rest in peace, that produced Pac. You had Candyman, Yo-Yo. You had old girl. I keep forgetting her name, man. She was the principal Steve Harvey show. The principal. She went to the school that those years, man. Acting. It was a couple other people, man. Like, we was really, homie, it was like a real life thing, man, for the West, homie. It was crazy. Dub C, Crazy Tunes, rest in peace, all of us, man. In about a 4-year span, we was all there together, homie.
Man, you know, it's crazy. When we had the Chill on the show, he was talking about the same thing with his middle school. It was like him, 8, Snoop, Warren G, it was just like a who's who of West Coast stars. I mean, that's insane. You know,
yeah.
You guys do a lot of battling and stuff against each other?
Yeah, we used to do all that, man. We used to do all that. You know what I'm saying? We used to battle. We used to sit up there, me and Yo-Yo, because, you know how schools went, man. You know, you kind of roll with your last name, like home, you know, homeroom and all that. So me and Yo-Yo had the same homeroom. So our teacher was so cool. She used to be like, okay, you know what? Y'all ain't got to do no work today as long as Dazzy and Yo-Yo rap. You know what I'm saying, man? We used to get up there and just bust, man. It was crazy back then, homie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, man. That's insane, man. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring on the homie Sin. I know he's got a couple questions for you. Then we're going to switch it up a little bit and talk about, you know what I'm saying, your career as a director and videographer. So let me bring on the homie Sin from France. He's the one that set this show up tonight with you. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, this is on the ring. What's up with you? back in the day, your first single, You Better Think, was produced by Jinx and Dre. It was around 96, 97, before you recorded in the album on the 89 DCD.
Yeah, well, You Better Think and all that, that was like maybe late 80s. I think we did that about 88, 89. I think it came out in 89, but I think we actually went to the studio and did it about at the end of 87, 88.
Yeah. I got also Tony Close. Tony Close was also a dope single too back in the day at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your album, first album was produced also by Tony Alvarez, Tony A, also. Can you tell us about the producer, Tony A?
I was signed to Capitol, the end of 94. So we and Battle Cat went in and knocked it out, man. Like,
yeah.
All 94, summer 95. We just, you know, we made magic, man. This was before Battle Cat ended up hooking up with Snoop and all them cats, man. I think the only thing Battle Cat was known for back then was he had produced that Domino. He had produced Ghetto Jam and Sweet Potato Pie. That was the only thing he had on file, you know what I mean, as far as the official record. He went from that to starting on my album.
Yeah. Your album, Where's My Receipts, was under the name After Rebirth, and you got dope song as this one, as Battle Cat production. Battle Cat is genius. Like On My Side, with Coolio and KD. Can you talk about this combination with Coolio and KD back in the day, On My Side?
Yeah, well, actually, it was supposed to be Where's My Receipt was first, and then Capital folded. Capital just got out the rap game for no reason, man. They just stopped doing rap. So my album didn't come out on Capital. So I had a chance to go back in the studio and recut some stuff, and that's why it's called The Rebirth.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You got also End of Business This Way with Ice Cube and KD. Can I talk with about the process for recording with Ice Cube on this one?
Yeah. The record with Cube was dope because it's funny too. A lot of people don't know, man. I was actually supposed to be part of West Side Connection, but it never happened. Mm-hmm. But I was supposed to be. That's why if you listen to Where's My Receipt, or you listen to the original Where's My Receipt, he says at the end of the record, Cube be like, "Yo, Dazzy, tell him what's up with the West Side Connection," because you know it was all supposed to go down, man. It was crazy back then.
Yeah. And you were supposed also to be on America's Most Wanted of Ice Cube, and it didn't. But he asked you advice of this album when it is on, and he want your advice about what you think about the album. Can you tell us about this back in the day?
Oh, when I first heard Cube album?
Well, yes, America's Most Wanted, you were supposed to be on, and it didn't.
Yeah, well, what happened was I was a knucklehead back then, man. I was on some other stuff, man. I was hustling to keep it 100. I was hustling, and I end up the week Cube and Jinx and everybody flew to New York to start working on America's Most Wanted. I hopped on the plane and flew the opposite direction. I went farther up west to Washington, man, and was hustling. So I was out there damn near the whole project, and we all kind of came back to Cali around the same time. And Q was like, "Man, I finished the album." I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Hi, Sam." He was nervous, man. He didn't want to play it for me. So he just like, man, he just pressed play. He walked out the room. He was like, you know, and I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. So then I'm listening to the record. And, man, I just the whole album just amazed me, man. I'm sitting there, like, with my mouth dropped open. And he came back in the room, like, "What you think?" And I was crying, man. I'm going to keep it 100. I had, like, tears coming down. I said, "Man, you just don't know what you did, homie." I said, you don't understand what you just made." He was like, "Damn, it's like that? It's dope?" I said, "Come on, man. It's past that."
Yeah. And back in the day, when we sing in the Straight Out Compton movie, the part of the April 7, 1990, as a 70th ball, as a Anaheim's theater, you know, the elevator escalator fights with Bruce Lee. You was into it with Sir Jinx. Coolio was there too, and the Kingston too. What happened at this time, and you was involved in it by the day?
Yeah, Jinx was doing, man, Jinx was dope, man. Jinx was so dope back then that, you know, when Cass finally caught on to what he was about, you know, that's when he flew to the East and then, yeah, got busy with King Sun and Coogee Rap, and that was dope, man. That was my introduction to G-Rap. I met G-Rap through Jinx. And, you know, we wrote a couple things together for G-Rap album. Like, if you look at the song credits, I got a few writer's credits on G-Rap album. So, yeah, Jinx been putting it down for a while, man. Jinx is a genius, man.
Yeah.
You breaking up, brother?
Yeah, I think we lost him. Thanks for calling, brother. Maybe he can call back in. It's like 5 a.m. in the morning where he's at. And I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your career as a director and a videographer, man. How did you get in the film?
Same reason with my daughter, man. I got to give her all the credit, man, because when we recorded Rep the West, my homeboy was going to direct it. And he was kind of busy. He got caught up, man, with some other projects at the time. So I was kind of ready to move. So I just, man, I grabbed. I had my iPhone, man, and I had a little camera, and I was just shoot because my homeboy was the editor. He was going to edit the video. He was like, "Man, just shoot." He was like, "I see you playing around. It looked good, so just shoot, and you know we'll make it happen when it's time to edit." I just caught the bug after that, brother. After I shop up the west. Man, it's been on and popping since then, man.
And is it something that you find natural,
yeah,
like rapping and the music side? Did it just, like, come natural to you? Or?
You said what, brother?
Did it pretty much come natural to you, kind of like how the music is, you know what I'm saying? Or is it something you had to learn over a period of time?
It's dope, man, because what happened was, you know, I retired from music. You know, I got to the point, man, where I was like, okay, you know, it's fun, man, but, you know, these youngsters, like, yeah, I'll leave it to the youngsters. So I was kind of stuck, man, and not knowing how in the hell I was going to stay creative. You know what I'm saying? You know, creative people, man, we always got to create, brother. You know that. You know what I'm saying? So picking up that camera, man, that man, that was exactly what I needed, man.
Yeah, kind of like a rejuvenation.
Oh, man, most definitely, man, most definitely. Now I get to, you know, instead of telling the story with my pad and my pen, man, and my mouth, man, I get to tell it with my eyes, man. It's dope, you know what I'm saying, because a lot of cats, you know, just like my style, you know, you can't really compare my rap style to no one. You know, you can try, but by the end of the day, I still sound like no one, man, and my flow, especially my flow. Same thing with how I approach video, man. I just got a different outlook, man. So it comes together, man. It's dope.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. The homie Sin, he's back on the line, man. I know he's got another question or two for you before we close it up. What's up, Sin? You got another question?
Yeah,
Daddy
Mike.
D?
Okay,
yeah.
Do me a favor, though, man. It's hard to hear him. So if you can, translate it for me because I can hear you clearer.
Okay, no doubt, I will. Send me the question, send to the inbox, if you can.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
I would know, what do you think about the Straight Out Compton movie, how it was for you, it was real or false or something?
I won't say it was fake, and I won't say it was too real. I say it was made for Hollywood, man. I'll leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Because there were some things that wasn't really clearly shown. There were some things that they kind of put a little extra on. You know what I'm saying? And then there were some things that was even some of the timeline was off. Like some of the timeline was backwards. So, you know, when I sit and watch the movie, I was sitting there scratching my head like, huh? No, that didn't happen right there. I was like, okay, it's a movie, man. It's a movie. Let it go.
Do you think that I always ask, you know, I ask Jerry Heller this, and I ask, you know what I'm saying, other cats, you know, Eazy-E's kids, I've asked, do you think there might be like a Eazy-E movie someday or maybe a different side of it to where you can get more of a realistic version of what went down, maybe a documentary?
I mean, it would be dope. It would be dope, but it would have to take somebody. It would have to take somebody, man. Like I, you know, as much as I love Dre and as much as I love Cube and them, I wouldn't want to put it in their hands. You know what I'm saying? It would have to take somebody, man. And to keep it 100, I probably would trust Yella. You know what I'm saying? Yella would probably do the movie justice as far as being, you know, help writing and giving the information. You know, him and Easy, they was real, real close, man. So, Yella keep it 100.
Yeah. Because in the Straight Outta Compton movie, Sin just sent me a question. He was saying that in that supposed scene with the fight with Ruthless, Coolio and Sir Jinx were there, too, and yourself. Did they have that wrong, too, pretty much?
Yeah, because kind of the way that went down, man, we was in New York. We was in New York for like a music convention. I forgot which music convention it was. And we saw them cats. We was going up the escalator, and they was coming down. Or vice versa. It was back in the day. I can't really remember. But we met each other on the escalator, and it was us and Above the Law. It had nothing to do with NWA. It had nothing. Q wasn't even with us at that time. Q was on the he was talking. He was, you know, he was one of the speakers. So he wasn't even there with us. It was the actual just Lynch Mob. It was the all the Lynch Mob homies and Above the Law. And yeah, we went up, we met back up, man, and went to the bathroom and handled it, man. Took care of our business.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, back then, you know, prior to you know, Above the Law and whatnot, everybody, you know, everybody was pretty cool. Did you guys know Above the Law, you know, back in the day when you were CIA or?
Nah, not really. You know, that was. That was easy in them people. That was actually Laylaw. That was Laylaw school. So Laylaw brought them to the table. You know what I'm saying? And they was doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were dope. I liked them. I always liked Above the Law. I never, you know, KMG, rest in peace. But you know, yeah, they was kind of like, I don't know, man. They was kind of new. You know what I'm saying? They was kind of new to the family. When all that hit the fan. So, you know, that's what really kind of pissed us off the most as far as the lynch mob homies, because we was like, you know, why y'all getting into this? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we know you easy homie, and we know, you know, y'all are ruthless, but what, the, you know, we wasn't tripping. You know what I'm saying? Because we understood, like, you know, that's business. That was business between NWA. It shouldn't have had nothing to do with us or them, but they made it about them. So, we of course, we had to do what we had to do.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, well, here you guys are all these years later. You know, I'm sure at some point in time, did you guys ever make music together, or are there ever any talks of that? Or?
Nah, man, I'm gonna keep it 100. Not me. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't ever. You know, they was like, they came up in Pomona, so you know, me being from South Central, man, that's like. Two hours away, 3 hours away, man. So, you know, we kind of didn't really bump running to each other like that. I mean, I always had respect for them. You know what I'm saying? I always loved what they did, but nah, I never really dealt with them. You got to understand, man, I was before them. So, you know, they were hella new to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there before DOC. You see what I'm saying? I was part of that. I was part of the family before DOC. So when DOC came, I embraced Doc. Doc embraced me as a little young homie, and you know, I always had love for them. But like you know, when you're speaking of Above the Law, though, they was like, you know, even though they triple OGs in the game, they were still new to me.
Yeah, yeah, you were right there since before NWA even started. So
yeah, you feel
you
me?
Got to see it all unfold,
yeah,
pretty
all
much
of it,
in the early stages. You know,
all of
what about
all
you know, let's go back even further though, man. You know, before Wrecking Crew really started moving, you know, Two Live Crew was at McCola. You know, Ice-T putting out records over there. Do you remember any of that early stuff, man?
Yeah, they was dope, man. They was dope. Ice, especially Ice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really like. You know, man, like I said, it's hard to explain, man, but it's like, all right, just imagine you loving G-Funk and your little nephew and them is listening to Trap. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how it was with me and them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Two Live Crew and Dr. Dre with the Record Crew. Like, you know, that's what they was into. You know what I'm saying? But I was on hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One, and, you know what I'm saying, Rakim. I was listening to that shit while they was, you know, still doing the techno hop. Like, they was, you know, they was still kind of, they was on the Planet Rock, you know what I'm saying, and all that. And I was like, okay, that's cool, but, you know, man, I'm 15, 16 years old. I'm listening to this other shit right now.
Yeah. Something different.
Yeah,
you know, but still the history of the West Coast is so crazy.
Right here.
You know, so much history. You know, but you know, you were part of it at a young age. You know, you got the right now, you know what I'm saying, you got the single we just played, you know what I'm saying, Rep the West. What do you got in the works, you know, as far as like music and film? You got anything coming up?
Nah, not really, man. I've been, like I said, I kind of walked away from the music, man. about a year ago now. You know, so I kind of walked away from the music. I mean, I still got a lot of product. Like I dropped a record online a few days ago with me and South Central Cartel. We had a record together. Nobody knew. We just went in and knocked it out. So I like this low key dropped it online. So I got stuff, man. Like my album that I was gonna drop called The Seventh Letter, man. If cats loved Where's My Receipt, they was gonna love The Seventh Letter, man. Cause I went there. I actually, I took my clout as an artist and a musician, and I used it to make this record, man. Like I reached out to George Clinton, he's on the album. I reached out to Smokey Robinson. He's on the album. You know what I'm saying? Like I went
Smokey
there.
Smokey Robinson,
like I went and grabbed cats. Yeah. Smokey ain't never did a rap record. He came in and knocked it out for me. It was so dope. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I got the product. Like I said, man, this video thing is my thing right now. So that's what I'm really focused on.
Yeah, no doubt. What about, I know Tony A put out a documentary, The Rhodium. Did you have, when you were younger, did you go to the Rhodium and sell music up there at the swap meet, or?
Yeah. The Rhodium was dope. I actually, I'm on a couple of the Rhodium swap meet mixtapes. I'm on there rapping. Yeah.
Some of them early ones.
I'm part of all that. Tony A was actually my DJ when I made You Better Think and all that with Dre and Jinx. Tony A was my DJ at the time.
Wow. Yeah, man. It's been like, I just saw the other day somebody made a post. It's been like 28 years since he dropped Scandalous with High C. That's crazy to even think.
We were before all that, man. We was before all, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I take pride in that, man. I mean, I don't know if it's just because I'm old, you know what I'm saying? But I was there. You see what I'm saying? I take pride there. Like, okay, High C, my boy. But I remember High C stepping into the game. High C wasn't even in the game when, I first started. You know what I'm saying? Quick. Like, I can name a lot of well-respected cast men from the West that wasn't really around. It was only about a good 10 of us, man, when I was really, really young and doing it. And, if it wasn't Compton's Most Wanted, NWA, King T, Dezzo Dazz, Dub C with Low Profile, you know what I'm saying? Like, them was like this. And them was like the originators for West Coast rap music, man. King T, Toddy T, Mixmaster Spade, rest in peace, Mixmaster King. These are the forefathers for West Coast rap music I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of cats like, I remember Snoop. I remember when Snoop first came to the scene. Dre played, was this 187 on the undercover, Deep Cover. He played that for
him. Oh,
he was
cover.
In Canada. And I was like, who is this dude? He was like, man, it's this new dude named Snoop. Warner brought him to him. I was like, yeah, he dope. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like I was there before all that, man.
And you got to see everything transpire.
Exactly.
That's amazing, man. You ever thought about doing a book or something?
They get on me about it all the time, man. They get on me all the time. They be like, man, you gotta do one. I'm like, I would love to do it, but it's a fine line, man. It's a fine line between because if I did it, I would have to go there. You see what I'm saying? Like I wouldn't be able to sugarcoat it. You know what I'm saying? I would have to go there. So I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe one day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Definitely a lot of history. I know Sin got a question for you. I'll let Sin ask it, and then I'll repeat it. Go ahead, Sin.
Okay.
Yeah, it was about the video you did, good video you did in 1995, Everybody Wanna Be a Gangster. It was a true message, Rian. Can you tell us about this one?
Wanna Be Gangster. Everybody Wanna Be a Gangster, yeah. Classic video.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, that was my boy Ricky Harris, rest in peace, the comedian Ricky Harris. He directed it. We came together, man, and we just put it down. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? How we did it. It was dope. AJ, Smoke AJ from Friday. You know, he, of course, he's in it. You know, this when he first got into the comic game. So we, of course, we had to let him get out because he was hilarious. But yeah, we just put it down, man.
Yeah. And how it was for you to grow up in Compton and you became a Crip at the age of 13. So back, way back.
13. I was to grow up being a Crip at the age of 13. What was that experience like, Dazzy D?
It was off the chain, man. That's when gangbanger was real, man. You know, like it's crazy because I was just watching a documentary on gangbanging, and actually they touched on my hood where I'm from, and they was talking about, like, I think they said 78. They said, you know, gangbanging really was, like, you know, really started around 70, about 77, 78. And I'm thinking, like, damn, I got put on in 82. So I wasn't even that far behind. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be, like, considered second generation of gangbanging. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I know in Chicago, you know, there's gangs that go back to the 30s and 40s, you know. Chicago's different, you know, than L.A. as far as gangs go. But same type of thing, man. Usually most of them start as a way to kind of protect people, you know, and give you some sense of a backbone in the hood, you know what I'm saying? Something to help you. But then over time it gets out of control.
Man, it was really supposed to be protection. It was supposed to be protection because, you know, police, man, and, you know, they was coming from their cities and coming and tearing shit up in Compton and L.A., and, you know, the brothers just got tired of it, man. They were like, nah, we got to protect ourselves. And that's how it really started. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt.
You was a member also of a California organization with CMW and South Central Cartel, Trade D. How it was to be in this group?
The California album was dope. I remember when he, because we was on the same label at the same time. I was working on Rebirth while he was working on California, and he just asked me to come get down, and I was like, okay. Because even on my side, even though I had Cooley on my side, it was really supposed to be Dazzy featuring Compton's Most Wanted, but Eight couldn't make it to the studio, so Coolio was right next door working on his album. He just came next door, man, and spit his verse real quick and kept it moving. And then as far as I met Straight G through my big brother Black Tone and my other homeboy K-Back that produced. I met Straight G like that, and then we ended up becoming best friends, man, and I ended up producing like 3 or 4 songs on his album.
Yeah, back in the day when you was in around the CIA group, Cube and KD sounded like Beastie Boys. Is it Beastie Boys who started, or do you think it was Ice Cube and KD who started this flow, or they was influenced by Beastie Boys? What do you think about that?
Cube and KD at the time, they was best friends. They had, like, went to school together, so they were best friends. So I knew they was, you know, they had started rapping together. That's how KD could hit you with the purple ice, you know what I'm saying? Because KD know everything about Cube. KD, you know, they were dogs, man. They were road dogs. Like I said, they've been best friends probably since maybe 13, 14 years old, man, probably even farther than that. So, yeah, so when they put together CIA, man, it was dope. It was dope to me. Only thing I didn't like about, I'm going to keep it 100, only thing I didn't like about CIA back then was Dre was having them, like, screaming and shit on the record. Like, he wanted them to sound like Beastie Boys. So if you ever listen to My Posse and all that from CIA, you know, they had that Beastie Boy vibe, and that was Dre. Dre was on that bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Dre was trying to give him the sound he thought they should have at that time. But, that's a lot of dope history tonight, man. Dazzy D, I really want to thank you for you know, coming on the show tonight. You know, it's been real cool, man. But before we go, I want to give you the floor. You know what I'm saying? If you've got anything coming out or something you want to let the people know, give any shout-outs, whatever, man. It's all yours, brother.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, I just dropped a short film. You can look me up, Daz, Big Daz, BIGDAZZ on YouTube. I got all my video work on that channel, man. I just dropped a short film on Compton, about Compton. Even though I'm not from Compton, I've been living here now over 10 years. So you know, I feel like I'm OG enough to be able to represent them. So I did my short film. I just dropped that about 2 weeks ago. Dope. I got a little young artist that's gonna come out named Deo Poeta. I'm overseeing his project. He's dope. My last record I released about 6 months ago called Pyrex. Features him and my boy Cali. So I directed that video. So that came out. That's dope. I just got a couple of other projects I'm dropping, man. I'm just happy, man. I'm happy to be behind that camera, man, putting in work. Oh, my IG, if you want to follow me on Instagram, is Big Daz, 5Z. So it's DAZZZZZ. You know what I'm saying? You can follow me on that. Or if you still want to deal with some of my music, I got another Instagram. It's just straight Dazzy D. DAZZIEDEE. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes I'll drop some gems on that IG, you know, just to keep it moving. But yeah, that's about it though, man. I appreciate y'all reaching out to me, man, and you know, let me tell my story too, brother. I appreciate it.
Man, it's a huge honor, and you know what I'm saying, you're welcome on any time. So man, let's definitely stay in touch, Dazzy D.
Let's do it, man. And, let's do it.
We're gonna get out of here with Ain't No Busters, man. Tune into this, you know what I'm saying? Check us out and make sure to support everything Dazzy D's doing. We're out of here.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
Fake MCs, nigga, please. Your motherfucking break from take a T.O. Castillo. Shit got the G.O. That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Like Popeye, so stop by if you want a pro. Yo, you knew the game. It's a shame you couldn't make it. Too much pressure, couldn't make it. So you had to fake the fuck. Now punks like you need to be dumped in a trunk. Your battleship just got sunk, yeah. Because your style switch more than a gate, man. Don't play, man. So hey, man, what you gotta say? And I don't think that you hear me clearly. Cause frankly, you should take a seat and then thank me for the favor I gave you. Your shit got no flavor. You can ask my next door neighbor. Cause we hater, fake ass perpetrator. Do you with the leanest, straight up I mean it. Shit is getting hectic. Rappers steady dropping, needing more elbow room, trying to get their props in. It's getting crowded. Now you acting howdy. Get that way, well see we allowed it. They new to the game, but far from true to the game. It's a trip just to see what niggas do for fame. Selling out, bailing out they limousine, waving at a show in they own hood, straight going Hollywood. Frontin' on your true homies, now you got new homies hanging with you. Behind your back, they out to get you, but you don't know no better, and you don't flow no better than the last man. Pretty soon you'll be a has-been, stuck, shit out of luck. I still say, no busters this way.
When I take my thing, nobody better not come this way. No busters, ain't no trick, nobody better not come this way. When I take my thing, nobody better not come this way. No busters, ain't no trick, nobody better not come this way.
Let them know, cause I guess they never knew about a group. One rhyme times two, West Side crew. And it's impossible, cause I almost got a rifle. Anything, Bloodsword, Crips, West Side clicks. I push up G, cause the hood keeps me lovely. When it comes to the writing, I got love for the other side, and the other side too. Just stay true, it's a mad ass badass. Who ride left side, west side, best side. And my homie KD, baby, got shit locked up. And from Dazzy, they hate getting mocked up. GQ from the 111, and it's okay for me to say killer all day. Ain't no busters this way.
When I
split them just like the crack on your ass as I blast with the dazzy D in the mix. D from 106, two nicks from the west side, say it loud, stand proud, no busters allowed in my crowd. So step your bitch ass off, cause a bitch ass is soft. You might get caught from the black bro with a natural or an afro. You can laugh, ho, but this nigga will have no busters, marks, holes,